time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Welcome to the program. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss in today with Matt Eumanns, who's filling in for Polly Howard, taking some time off as we are in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino inside the glorious sportsbook here. On the program coming up today in 45 minutes, we'll try to get you some NBA winners. We'll see what Aaron Rennie likes tonight in the association and moving forward with some of these series prices. Also on the show today, we have Randy McKay, some NHL, Brett McMurphy on college football, and Paige Sporanic is going to be on the show, final segment. And Matt, I think that you and Paige have something in common.
Well, we both like to bet golf. What else?
She tweeted out yesterday, pros and cons of Arizona golf in the summer. Pro, cheap, nobody's on the course.
Oh, yeah.
Con, 115 degrees.
That's not a con. That's a pro.
You...
So we don't have that in common.
No.
I actually played golf at Prim Valley yesterday. It was about 110, and I was the only person on the desert course on the 18 holes out there at about... I played from about 2 to 5:30 in the afternoon. Only person
only
on the course.
Only person.
Yeah. It was great.
Wow. I'm sure it was. It's one of the reasons why you love doing this.
Loved it. Yeah. I did have to go back up to the clubhouse briefly to watch the end of the golf tournament and see if Garrick Higo was actually going to close out the win. But that was a wild finish, and I certainly didn't expect it, Mitch. I know we're going to talk about it later, but that's one of those futures wins that you just kind of luck into.
Well, congratulations to you and anybody else who had Higo over the weekend. You popped him at, what, 50-1?
50-1, and he actually, Circa bumped him up, I think, to 54, 58-1.
Yeah.
And he got there. I still don't know how. I watched the replay last night, and I still don't know how Garrick Higo won the tournament yesterday in South Carolina, but he did, and I'm not going to apologize.
No, I don't think so. Would you want to call that like a backdoor victory for the young Higo?
He was six strokes behind the leader going into Sunday.
Yeah.
And Chasen Headley had a four-stroke lead on whoever was second.
I think it was Harris English.
It was Harris English. Yeah. That's right. And one by one, the contenders toppled. It was like dominoes dropping. And Garrick Higo was just consistent. I think he went 68, 69, 68, 68.
He did.
In his four rounds. He was three under yesterday. How is a guy who's six strokes back win the tournament by only going three under on Sunday? You're not going to see that, okay? That's why I said it was kind of a fluke. Lucked into it, but I'll take it. And it's really a great story once you dive into it, because I know a lot of people have never heard of Garrick Higo until now, but he's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, I mean, he's in his early 20s.
22.
He looks like he's 10, you know? And you're right, with all those golfers jumbled up like that, once, like, the guys at the top are coming back to the pack, for one person who was six back to win it on his own and have no playoff.
Crazy.
Really remarkable.
Yeah.
That was something the way it unfolded. But you can pick winners off like that in golf, like almost every single week. Coming up, where we stand today in the playoffs, NBA and the NHL, updated series prices, and it's fascinating how quickly some of these series can change. An injury, a team goes back home, they win the next two games. That's coming up here on Follow the Money.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
John Rahm forced to withdraw for the Memorial after three rounds with a six-shot lead due to a positive test for COVID-19. He says he's been cleared to play in this week's U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. He's the favorite at 9-1. Dustin Johnson, 14-1. Bryson DeChambeau, 16-1. He's the defending champion of the event. Brooks Koepka, 18-1. NHL Stanley Cup playoff semifinals. Vegas, a $2.80 favorite at home against Montreal, 5.5 under the total. NBA playoff action, Eastern Conference semifinals. Philadelphia, 2-1, laying 3.5 at Atlanta, 225.5 the total. Be sure to check out our new betting splits feature on vsin.com. Before you place your next bet every day, we're posting the latest splits for games at current odds and what percentage of bets and money being placed on each game. Go to vsin.com and check out the betting splits plus live odds, line moves, and game analysis. Makes vsin.com the best place to visit before your next bet. With your action update, I'm Mike Sena.
Get the latest vsin odds at vsin.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
Sunday. Coming up, obviously, it's Father's Day. It's time to get Dad some great VSiN gear. We've got hats, shirts, and mugs with the VSiN logo, or fun sports betting sayings like cash and tickets is what it's all about. And it's not under until it's over. Get your dad something he really wants this year. Visit the VSiN store today and find the perfect gift at VSiN.com/store. You think will management be okay this week if I wear some of the VSiN shirts that I've obtained over the years to help promote this during the week and for Father's Day? I have a bunch of those at the house, and a lot of them
I think you should. You can model the shirts, and then people can see what they're going to buy if they go to the VSiN store.
I think it's a good idea. I think they'll be okay with that for this one week. Got some cool-looking stuff.
I don't have any VSiN shirts.
You have any?
No.
Huh.
I was never given any, and I'm not sure if they make them big enough. I like to wear double X or triple X shirts, and I'm not sure if they make those in the VSiN store. The last time I stopped by the VSiN store, which is at the South Point by the gift shop, Jimmy Vaccaro was working the cash register, and I said, Jimmy, do you have triple X shirts? And he had no idea.
Yeah, he said, no, we probably ran out a little while ago. Yeah. I have the VSiN, we made it up, it looks like the Van Halen logo that you can find. That's a sharp-looking T-shirt.
There's some good-looking shirts in there.
Yeah. All right, so.
You're going to wear one tomorrow?
I think I might.
Okay.
I think I might yank one out of the old closet, wherever it's at. I have no idea. And pop it on the air tomorrow. All right, so.
Dave Tooley has a VSiN bowling shirt. Just don't wear that, okay?
Okay. I don't think I have one. Maybe I do. Updated NBA and NHL series prices, where we stand right now, moving forward, Matt, with the playoffs in these two sports. It is like how these different series can change in both of them. I mean, we saw this just, I mean, last round in the NHL where Colorado looked amazing for the first game. They won game two, and then the Golden Knights came and they ripped the next four games out of their guts and said, go home, see you later. We're the better team. We're going to march on. And now in the NBA, when you have an injury, I mean, first of all, the James Harden thing in game one, the Bucks must be really kicking themselves for not winning that game at this point, although they're probably feeling pretty good today. And then the Nets are up 2-0. Game two was an absolute embarrassment for Milwaukee. It looks like, okay, this is going to be a five, maybe even a sweep overall, five-game series, whatever. But then the Bucks come back home. They, you know, eke out game three in a tough-fought game, hard-fought battle. And then game four, again, right away, like 17 minutes of playing time in for Kyrie Irving. He goes down with the injury, doesn't look good. They win the game. They pull away in the second half. And now we're at 2-2, and I'm looking at a number right now. Their favorite in Game 5 going back to Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
I don't see a series price, though, here between these two teams.
No, I haven't seen that yet either, but it looks like the Bucks are going to be favored on the road in Game 5, and that's assuming, I think, that Kyrie's going to miss the game with the ankle injury. Like you said, it's amazing how quickly these series can change. We were talking about this before the show. After Game 1, Game 2, not many people gave the Bucks much of a chance. I think at that point it was, the Bucks might win a game or two in this series, but that's it. They just don't have the firepower. They're not good enough defensively to stop the Brooklyn Nets. And one injury can completely change the series. And now the Nets have to deal with two injuries. And I've said this about Brooklyn all season, is that I thought they could have two problems in the playoffs. One is that the big three had not played together much at all the entire season. So they're trying to develop cohesiveness in the playoffs, which is never a good idea. The second one is, all three of those stars have been physically fragile in the past, and what if one drops by the wayside in the postseason? I certainly didn't expect two of them to fall by the wayside here in the second round. And it's, you know what's ironic about it is the guy who blew his Achilles out and is coming back from the most serious injury is the guy who's the most reliable for the Nets at this stage. Harden's down, Kyrie's down, but KD is the healthiest of the big three at this point. And, Mitch, I'll say this about the Bucks: we knew they were going to have to shoot the ball better when they went back to Milwaukee. Finally shot the ball a little bit better from three last night. They were 16 for 47 from three. That's 34%. That's not great. You're not setting the Nets on fire if you're the Bucks shooting 34%. But in the first three games of the series, the Bucks were 22 for 89 from three-point range, 24.7%. They finally shot the ball better from three last night. They're going to have to shoot it north of 33%, I think, to win this series.
Agreed. By the way, I stand corrected. I'm looking right now at DraftKings. The Bucks are up as the favorites now to win the series at DK. They are $1.29 favorites, yeah. And the Nets are +105 at the DraftKings Sportsbook.
Well, that makes sense because they're favorite in it's 2-2. They're favorite in Game 5. Sure. They're going to be slight favorites in the series. But I think you kind of have to wait to see what's going to happen with Kyrie Irving. Are you assuming he's going to be out for Game 5?
I would think so. I mean, that looked like... Has that ever happened to you? You played a lot of basketball.
Sure.
I mean, that's... How would you describe that? You're going to be able to bounce back a couple days later?
You know, what's interesting is you can come back from an ankle injury in a couple of days. It just depends how severe it is. And, you know, the way these guys act, you know, you see LeBron rolling around on the floor like he's shot, and then he gets up and he's running like a deer 2 minutes later.
Right.
I just don't I don't quite believe everything I see because of their acting ability. So it wouldn't surprise me if Kyrie's back on the floor for the next game. I'll say this, a groin injury is a lot more difficult to make a back from. And that's what James Harden's trying to come back from.
Yep.
So can Harden make it back for Game 5? I'm a little bit skeptical, even though they say he's been on the court working out. If the Nets get one of those guys back, I still think they got a pretty good shot to win Game 5. You think so? I mean, they handled the Bucks pretty easily in Game 2 with two of the big three.
Yep. I think maybe even the bigger story right now in terms of how this series is going, betting wise, how about the totals? I mean, I anticipated like these games to be, you know, I think a lot of people
250 points, right?
Sure. I mean, the game one closing total was 239.5. We had 222 points. The game two closing total was 238. It fell 211. How about game three? 235.5 fell 169.
Crazy.
And then yesterday afternoon, the total was 220.5. It fell 203. So from game one to game four, we've had the total move 11 points already to the under.
Yeah.
Or, you know, smaller number actually. And I don't think that's the way that these two teams play basketball, the way that they played in the regular season when they met each other, they were higher scoring games. Totals were like in the 230s and or 240s, and they had a chance to go over those numbers. And now it's just like, man, oh man, the way that this series is going, and there's no Kyrie, I mean, probably going to continue in game number 5. And the total is 220 now. So think about that. How many times have we had a series in the NBA where the total from game 1 to game 5 has dropped almost 20 points?
I can't recall too many. I have seen a lot of playoff series over the years where the total has dropped. As you could tell, it was going to be a much more defensive-oriented series than people thought at the beginning. But that's going to be a good topic to talk with Aaron Renning about in about a half hour when he joins us, because he's a guy who bets a lot of totals. I would be surprised if he has not been betting the unders in this series.
Yeah.
He's probably ahead of the curve in terms of how low scoring this series has been. The average person, average Joe handicapper, I think, and I agreed with him, thought this was going to be a shootout. Thought this series was going to be a shootout.
Sure.
Now, when James Harden goes down,
that changes things.
Changes your thinking a little bit on how it's going to play out, but the adjustment's been dramatic.
Yep. So you bet... As we switch gears here to the, well, first of all, you know, let me give the other series prices here that we have adjusted. And we have the 76ers laying 770 against the Hawks. Whew. And the Jazz are -195, now down up two games to one against the Clippers. And the Clip joint, they're +155.
Well, a couple things to talk about there. One is, how quickly is that Sixers series changed?
Oh, man.
The Hawks win game one on the road. We were able to bet the Sixers anywhere from -105 to -130 before game two on the series price. Now look where the series price is.
Yeah.
Once again, I don't think Danny Green has missed at all.
Right.
He shouldn't have been playing the minutes he was playing. Doc Rivers, I thought, made a coaching mistake there. How much was Danny Green missed in game three?
I mean, well, you know what? Thank goodness that you know, they kind of figured this out and said that other guys need to be playing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you called that right away after game one. You're baffled at how much playing time he was getting and playing, you know, trying to...
This didn't make sense.
Right? Defend, and I know he's tall, but...
How do we know their team better than Doc Rivers?
It's strange. Huh? It is strange.
That shouldn't happen.
Yep. And the Sixers are laying 3 points in the game tonight.
Right. And then in the Jazz-Clippers series, I think the Jazz have serious concerns because Mike Conley has not been able to play, and now Donovan Mitchell is dealing with that ankle injury that is recurring. And he said he was in a lot of pain at the end of game three. He still had a phenomenal game. Donovan Mitchell's been lights out, man. He is. You can't knock his performance at all. Talking about a guy who's on a bad ankle doing what he's doing. But he's not going to be able to carry this team on a bad ankle through the rest of the series, and they're going to need Mike Conley to come back. I don't know if that's going to happen.
I cannot believe the referee in the NBA last night in that Nuggets-Suns game.
It was embarrassing.
I can't believe that he ejected the MVP. You're absolutely right. That's the only word that you can really use, and Adam Silver cannot be happy about that today. How do you toss anybody, let alone, and I don't like star treatment in the NBA. I never have back to when I was 10 years old. I'm like, why does Michael Jordan get every single call in the NBA? That seems weird to me. He's already so good. He doesn't need the help.
Right.
So I don't like the star treatment, but how do you make that call? How do you, and I get it, like there was a lot of force behind the swipe. You can't kick up a player like that of a playoff series and say, you're gone, buddy, get out of here. That's absurd.
You don't kick any player out.
No.
I don't care if it's MVP or PJ Tucker. You're going to kick him out of the game. And that's just, it's sad that the ref show sometimes takes over in the NBA and baseball and the NFL. But we saw it last night, and it definitely should not happen in the playoffs. You want to boot a guy in a regular season game, go ahead.
Sure.
You do not do it in a playoff game like this. And I don't know. Adam Silver, I guess, has got to be the guy to step in and say, look, you can't do stuff like that.
Yeah, he has to. That was nuts. And the Suns, and I liked him in the series, didn't bet him because the number was a little bit too high. But it turned out it wasn't, actually. And they took care of that team in four games. Man, what a series.
You know, one thing I'll say about that. In game three, I thought the Nuggets would show a lot more fight.
Yep.
After Michael Malone said they quit in game two.
Yep.
Did you see some of the cases on defense where the Nuggets showed no effort whatsoever in game three, where they left three-point shooters wide open and guys were just standing around on defense, not even running out to get a hand in the face of a shooter? I thought the Nuggets' defensive effort in game three was an embarrassment to the franchise. And as a coach, I think you have to look at your roster and say, look at these guys out here in a playoff game who are not putting out effort. You got to remake your roster. You keep Jamal Murray and the MVP and then Michael Porter probably, and you go from there.
Sure. I mean, once he
actually have guys quitting in the playoffs.
He called the team out after game two, and then we saw that on game three on Friday night, how it played out. That was disgusting. How do you, you're exactly right. They're going to have to go to the drawing board and say, I would watch the film with all the players and say, look at this. Look at what happened in the first quarter of this game.
Right.
I had Nuggets first quarter. I had to turn the game off.
I felt like
it was vomit-inducing.
I felt like apologizing to the listeners. We talked about on the show on Friday how you had to trust the spot and play the Nuggets in the first quarter. And I watched that, and I said, this is embarrassing.
Oh,
this
my
is an
God.
Embarrassing effort. How, after your coach calls you out for quitting, and you're going home down 2-0 in the playoffs, you guys quit in game three.
Totally unacceptable.
Well, it was, but the Clippers came through if you played the same angle, barely.
Yeah, right, absolutely. Are you feeling pretty good today about your Islanders series bet plus 250?
Feeling pretty good about it, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's a good start. Randy McKay liked that one on Twitter. He'll join us coming up later on in the show today, see if he likes anything in the game tonight. And also moving forward, look, I spent a couple of minutes here on recapping the UFC. I mean, how good was Lou Finocchiaro over the week? I mean, he came on our show, I think it was last Wednesday. He was on other shows here on VSiN. He was telling people, run, don't walk to the window to bet Moreno.
Mm-hmm.
And when, like, Bill 80 sends out the VSiN newsletter every single day with updated bets, on Saturday, I stared at the email like 10 times, just like kind of in awe of Lou. Because almost everything that he said, with the exception, I think, one fight, cashed. Mm-hmm. And they were all dogs. Every one of them. For example, Moreno, it was sent out plus 205. I think I got plus 185 on Moreno in that fight. And inside the distance, Lou liked that as well for a smaller unit play.
That was his best call on the card.
Oh, and absolutely.
He was very strong. He sent a text to me last week, and he told us, bet Moreno now. And at that point, he was around plus 190. And Lou nailed that one, man.
Yeah, he got that one. That was dead on.
Yeah.
With that call. Got that one. He had Craig plus 230 for a half a unit against Hill. Pop the arm.
Oh
wow. Good God. Had that. Had Riddell against Dober. And Riddell was plus money. His loser was Stewart against Anders. And he also did have Murray via decision at plus $2.
Mm-hmm. And he also liked Israel Adesanya in the main event. And he called that correctly as well. Lou doesn't come in on many big favorites, but when he comes in on a favorite like that, it gives you more confidence to say, hey, this guy's probably going to deliver, and Adesanya did deliver. Marvin Vettori was a little bit outclassed in that fight, but I thought he put up a pretty good showing for the most part. I know a lot of people said it was a rout, mm-hmm. and it wasn't much of a fight. I'll say this, and I didn't like the way Adesanya was mocking Vettori at the end of the fight and kind of acting like a clown. You're not as bad as you think you are if a guy just stood toe-to-toe with you in a cage for 25 minutes and he walks away at the end standing tall. Marvin Vettori didn't get knocked out. He had like 6 minutes of control time. He was the lopsided loser in the fight. But what are you doing mocking the guy when he just went 25 minutes with you and you couldn't put him away?
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Something to be said for that, no doubt. But that was, I mean, what a performance by Lou Finocchiaro. So
great
good.
Job, Lou. And Lou's been, we talked about this before the show, you and I. Since last April when the UFC took the stage, Lou has been lights out. He's been consistently cranking out winners in the UFC.
Yeah, and when you do that with dogs,
yeah.
I mean, you have a chance to like stay above water the entire time when they keep coming in like this. And he's great at picking out which ones are going to be there and cash at the very end. It's U.S. Open week. We'll discuss some of our bets that we made to this point. Recent U.S. form, recent form at Torrey Pines, all coming up.
Don't wait days for your winnings. Cash out instantly with BetRivers' phenomenal feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boost, and the most in-play betting options out there. As always, get $250 in a match bonus, fastest payouts, and only one-time playthrough at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Offer valid in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey, not valid in Iowa. BetRivers Sportsbook at BetRivers.com.
All right, it is major week, U.S. Open week to be exact. And Matt, you are headed down to Torrey Pines in San Diego later on in the week. You're going to be there on Friday and then throughout the weekend. You are the Vegas hammer this year when it comes to betting golf. What is it now, six, seven outrights?
Six on the PGA Tour since January and five runner-ups.
Jesus. Is that right?
Yeah, in the last 3 weeks, I've had two winners and a runner-up, but I can't complain about the runner-ups. You're going to have a couple.
Yeah, sure. You're not going to win it every week.
Yeah, it's hard to win these things. Just as a player, it's hard to win any tournament. As a bettor, it's hard to win these futures. But, I hit the sixth one yesterday, and I've had a 50-1, 60-1, and a 70-1 in there. So we've managed to hit some long shots. Wes Reynolds is having a great year as well. Brady Cannon had a winner last week. So, you know, you and I were talking about this last week. Golf betting is unique because it's the only thing you can play on the futures board. And you can bet a long shot on Wednesday and cash it on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've spent a lot of time messing around with college basketball futures. Sometimes very profitable. Sometimes we spend 5 months, you know, messing around for nothing. And in golf, you can play a 50-1 shot on Wednesday, and you can be cashing the ticket on Sunday night. And I think, you can bet matchups and top fives and top tens and other things as well. But the futures board is, I think, what really attracts a lot of people to golf betting,
mm-hmm.
because there's just nothing else where you can cash a big ticket like that in the span of 4 or 5 days.
No doubt. So what matters most to you this week? Like, are we talking about, like, recent stats, shots gained on... You know, we talked about that last week with Colin Morikawa. His iron game is, like, by far and away right now the best in the entire sport. Does U.S. Open history play into this at all with you, or is that a stupid question?
That's not a dumb question at all. In fact, you got to look at course history. You have to look at U.S. Open history as well, in kind of a combination, because the USGA sets these courses
up. Oh, yes, yeah.
To make them incredibly challenging. So, you got to look at guys who've been able to handle USGA-type setups in the past. but you also want to play guys who have got positive course history at Torrey Pines. And you have to keep in mind, I was looking at this last night because I'm writing a column on this for the New York Post and for the Point Spread Weekly magazine. And it's interesting that I'll give you a couple numbers here. Colin Morikawa is one of the guys I like a lot this week. I bet him 24-1. Indy Jeff Seeley is going to be on with him this week, on with us this week, and I know he likes him too. But Morikawa is interesting because he won the PGA last year. We don't really know how his game's going to transfer to a U.S. Open setup or Torrey Pines specifically. But I know this. These two stats indicate that Morikawa is probably going to be a pretty good play this week. He ranks first on the PGA Tour in greens and regulation percentage, 72%. He also ranks first on tour in strokes gained tee to green, 1.96. His iron play is probably the best in the world now. What you have to do at Torrey Pines is avoid the rough, Mitch. I don't know if you've seen any of the videos this week, but you throw a golf ball into the rough and the ball disappears.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a severe rough, and it could be carnage for some players out there who, if you don't keep it in the fairway, you're going to be in trouble. Morikawa typically keeps it in the fairway. Like I said, that stat I was talking about right there with Morikawa, greens and regulation percentage 72, that's number one on tour. If he can play like that this week,
sure.
I think he's going to be in pretty good shape. And he's one thing about Morikawa, his putter sometimes is a little inconsistent. That's been one of his problems.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But he actually putted pretty well, except for the last putt he missed at the Memorial a couple weeks ago. He gained strokes putting in that tournament. So obviously there's always a little bit of guesswork involved, but you want to look at guys who have played well at Torrey, who can handle USGA setups, and believe it or not, Xander Schauffele is one of those guys again.
I know it. He'll be on my card this week.
He's on my card. Indy Jeff's going to have him. I think Brady Cannon's going to have him.
Yep.
There's a lot of things to talk about with Schauffele, but I can tell you his major history. How about this?
Hold on. Save Schauffele's history. Because we need to spend some more time on this coming up next. It's too good. And we'll get into, again, some of the recent form and the bets we've made so far in the U.S. Open. That's coming up next here on Follow the Money. OddsTrader.com studio at Circa Resort and Casino. OddsTrader.com. Download the free OddsTrader app right now. Start winning with up to the second info that you need with real-time bet tracking, and you can compare sportsbook sign-up bonuses at OddsTrader.com. So we're talking U.S. Open. Matt's going to be there a little bit later on in the week, going down to Torrey Pines in San Diego. You just cashed out with Higo over the weekend at 50-1, mm-hmm. and that is your sixth outright winner since January, which is incredible. Is that, do you think that might be the most you've ever had at this point of the year?
It was about 3 years ago. I had a very similar type of year. But, yeah, that's it's probably great. Matches the best because, like I said, it's hard to hit these things.
It is.
You have to have luck. Ball's got to bounce your way. And like yesterday, I probably didn't deserve to cash on Garrett Kiggo, but he got there. Early in the season, I had a couple that I thought I deserved to win, and I ended up second.
Yeah.
You know, so you're not going to complain when you hit something like this. But it's very frustrating to finish second when you're betting golf futures, but I guess I had one break my way yesterday.
What did you find on Schauffele in your research that you were doing getting ready for the tournament?
Schauffele finished tied for second at the Farmers Insurance Open in January. Okay, so a lot of times we look at Schauffele and we kind of emphasize where he came up short. Because he hasn't won in a year and a half. And this is a guy that a lot of sharp golf bettors like this guy. It's not just me and you. Jeff Sherman at the Westgate plays him all the time. There are a lot of sharp golf bettors that like him. But he has been in a drought in terms of finding the winner's circle. But I went back and looked at the Farmers Insurance Open in January, and he finished tied for second. Patrick Reed, Fat Pat, ran away with it. But what's different about the U.S. Open and the Farmers is that they play one round on the North course at Torrey Pines and the Farmers. This is going to be all on the South course at the U.S. Open. And I believe Xander Schauffele was one stroke better than Patrick Reed on the three rounds on the South course.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
So he actually, I think, played the South course better than anyone in January, which got to mean something for the U.S. Open this week. And again, when you look at Schauffele in majors, he is, he's made 16 career major starts. He's finished in the top 10 of 8 of the 16. 50% in the top 10. That is crazy. Six times he's finished in the top 5. How about this? His worst finish in 4 U.S. Opens? 6th place.
I mean, Matt, he has finished, it's now 4 top 6s in a row for him at the U.S. Open.
Right.
4 top 6s in a row.
That's crazy.
When the course for the U.S. Open, like you talked about 10 minutes ago, is always difficult.
Yeah.
And they would prefer like the winner to be around 5 under in that neighborhood. They don't want, and this is why I love the U.S. Open, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's because usually we don't have a guy who's going to post a 17 under for the weekend. Like
right.
They go out there and they struggle, man. It's difficult.
Yeah, if you look at the past U.S. Open winning scores, sometimes the score has been above par.
Yeah, right.
You know, so there's a lot of debate what it's going to be this week. Paul Stone's going to be on with us, I think, tomorrow to talk some golf and college football. Paul told me he thinks the winning score might be around 7 under this week. We'll see if his opinion has changed. I was thinking more like 9 or 10, but when I saw the rough at Torrey Pines, I said, okay, this is going to be
it's
going to be more of a challenge than the typical Farmers Insurance Open by far. So Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, I'm sure Indy Jeff Seeley is going to make a really strong case for Brooks Koepka, and you can. In majors, Brooks Koepka, he has crushed the competition if you look at strokes gained over the past 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
Who and else is on your radar this week?
Okay, well, I have Koepka 20-1. I bet him in
That's a good
May.
Number. It's a good number, no doubt about it.
Koepka, 6 straight top 10s in the U.S. Open from 2014 to 2019. Didn't play last year. 2 wins and 4 top 4s for Brooksy. DJ, 5 top 6s since 2014. He won it in 2016. Oosthuizen, a 2nd, 3rd, and a 7th in the U.S. Open since 2015.
Mm-hmm.
How about Torrey Pines form? The favorite this week is John Rahm. 5 straight top 30s, 1 win, a 2nd, a 5th, and a 7th at Torrey Pines, the Farmers Insurance Open.
Mm-hmm.
Finau has
That's
a good.
That's why he's the favorite.
Exactly
week.
Right. Finau has a good track history here.
He does.
Patrick Reed, Bubba Watson, Justin Rose have all played well at Torrey Pines.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a flyer. I found Mark Leishman at 85-1 yesterday. He runs well here at Torrey Pines.
He won the Farmers Insurance Open 2 years ago, right?
I believe that's when he, I think that was the year he did it.
That was the day that Kobe died in the helicopter crash on that Sunday. The final round, Mark Leishman won that thing at long odds.
That happened on the same day, huh?
Yeah, I was out there walking the course.
Oh.
At Torrey Pines, and you'd start to get text messages, hey, Kobe died. And you're like, what kind of prank is this?
Knock it off.
That didn't happen. That was a weird day. Remember when Tiger Woods was informed of it when he was walking off the 18th
hole? Right.
Yeah.
That's right. That was that day, huh?
That was 2 years ago at Torrey Pines.
Well, I found 85-1 here in town yesterday, and Circa had 73-1. And Circa, they do such a great job with like moving the numbers during the week.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Leishman by Wednesday could be 92-1 here at Circa. But I saw him at 85, and I'm like, maybe he doesn't go the other way. So I took the 85 that I saw yesterday.
Yeah. Jeff Davis here at Circa, he stays on top of this stuff, and he moves these numbers. Last week, I saw Garrett Higo at 50-1 here. We always talk about Circa's, you know, typically got the best numbers you're going to find on long shot players. I found Higo 50-1 elsewhere. I happened to be at that book, so I bet him. And then I look at the Circa app the next day, and Higo's like 54-1 or 58-1 here.
Sure.
I was like, okay.
Yep. I'm also on Max Homa. At 102-1, he's been playing some pretty decent golf.
Cashed at the Genesis in Los Angeles. It's 70-1. Was that in February?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I took Sam Burns at 200-1. These are like pizza money bets that I have on Burns and Homa. Nothing real serious here at those numbers. But I noticed like Burns is way down below like 200 some spots. And in fact,
he's too good to be at that number.
Right. And he's been playing like he's had a great, what is he, top? I think he's top 5 right now on the FedEx leaderboard.
Well, for
this
about
year.
A 6-week stretch, Sam Burns, I thought, was right up there among the best players on tour. He had a chance to win about 4 tournaments. But then he had an injury, and it's kind of cooled off a little bit. You know, you get peaks and valleys
sure.
with players. You got to try to predict when they're going to peak.
Yep.
It doesn't seem like Sam Burns is peaking. Right now, he's already peaked. But again, he's a really talented guy to get at that number.
Yeah, and I saw like 75 to 1 in other books on Sam Burns. So I saw 200 to 1, and I'm like, let me put a little bit of money on him because he's, mm-hmm. like you said, has had a really good run here lately. And maybe he did peak, and maybe he, you know, is not in contention this week. But at that number, I think I'd take a little bit of a flyer on him. That's why, we talk about this all the time. Some of the numbers here on Circa are so attractive.
I know.
It's tough to, I don't even like to look sometimes. Someone's going to pop later on this week that's going to be 180 to 1. I'm like, how's that guy 180 to 1?
I told you I bet Ricky Fowler. I had sure. no plans to bet Ricky Fowler before the PGA, right?
Yep.
But I had instincts to tell me, he's probably going to play well this week. I looked at the Circa app night before the tournament. He's 190 to 1.
Crazy.
So I said, okay, I got to bet it. Okay.
Aaron Rennie on the show coming up next. We'll see what he likes tonight in the NBA and if any series prices are appealing at this point.
Join the action on DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Just download the app and use promo code VSEN when you sign up to compete for cash prizes each week. Don't wait. Sign up now. The new customers get a deposit bonus of up to $500. That's code VSIN when you sign up. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Must be 18 or older. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Again, promo code VSEN.
All right, professional sports bettor Aaron Renning joins the program now. It is Follow the Money on VSEN, the sports betting network. Yara, thanks for the time. It's always good to talk to you. We were talking about this in the first segment of today's program. Isn't it funny the way that these series can just flip after a game or two and the narrative changes? Look no further than the Nets and the Bucks. I mean, The Bucks were dead to rights after game two. They got embarrassed, and now all of a sudden they tied up after they go back home, win two straight, and Kyrie Irving goes down, and now they're favored to win the series, and they're favored in game five.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Absolutely, Mitch. I bet the Bucks to win this series, the pre-flop, before game one. After game two, I said, that might be the worst bet that I've made all season. and yeah, I mean, it was kind of crazy because you remember, I mean, I got a good price. I got over $2 on the Bucks before the series started. And then even after game one, you know, I could still scalp out of it if I wanted to because it was, you know, nobody could really understand that price. But obviously after game two, it looked like Brooklyn was going to run away and hide with the series. But, you know, I tell you what, guys, you know, if you go back probably the last handful of years, whether it's injuries or maybe even a suspension, has really dictated, maybe decided a lot of these big NBA series in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And certainly, you know, you talk about it this year, you know, of course, with Harden and Kyrie right now, but you know, if Anthony Davis doesn't get hurt, I mean, Phoenix Suns probably or certainly weren't favored to come out of that series against the Lakers. You know, Jamal Murray obviously hurt for Denver, killed their chances. You know, Conley and Mitchell dealing with Utah. You know, going back to last year, Miami lost all chance with injuries against the Lakers. So it's crazy. But with that said, you certainly can't be surprised that Harden or Kyrie are hurt in this series. That's what's going to make this game five just absolutely hard to handicap really at this point leading up to the game. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Harden and Kyrie both play, whether they finish, that would be a question, but at the same time, it could go the other direction where both don't play and Kevin Durant gets hurt. I wouldn't be surprised to see that scenario, as well. So, feel like maybe I'll get lucky and back into a Bucks series winner. I think the books would be happy to see the Nets go down. But, you know, even after game four and even after the Bucks have won the last two games, offensively, it still just continues to be a disaster for this Bucks team. The offensive rating in the four games so far for the Bucks, 103, 91, 90, and 105. I mean, the NBA average, certainly about, you know, in the one teens for that. And, you know, yesterday the pace wasn't too bad, and still just not much scoring in this series. I mean, you know, the first game total, 240. Now I see 220 for game five. Obviously, you really have to account for Kyrie in that equation. I mean, and again, you watch the Bucks, and, you know, certainly start with Giannis making a free throw, don't shoot three-pointers. You see how they can improve offensively, you know, remaining in this series. But, you know, do you trust this team and Budenholzer to figure it out and do that? Now, I feel like they have done some things better offensively, at least scheme-wise. But still, certainly against the Brooklyn team, all cylinders, I wouldn't like the Bucks' chance.
Yeah, we were talking about the Bucks' three-point shooting, 16 for 47 in game four. That's 34%, and that's a big improvement for the Bucks in this series. They were shooting about less than 25% in the first three games from three. Do you think the Bucks are on to something here with P.J. Tucker trying to get physical with KD? Because Kevin Durant, actually 9 for 25 from the field in game four. He was 20 for 53 in the two losses in Milwaukee. And it looked like P.J. Tucker might have thrown him off. We know Durant's a thin-skinned guy. Is P.J. Tucker getting physical with KD maybe a smart move by the Bucks, or is that overreacting?
And Giannis, 4 of 21 from three on his own in the series so far. But, you know, it's always touchy, and you never know how it's going to be called, let's be honest. You know, on their home court, the Bucks' home court, Tucker probably get away with that a lot more than he would at Brooklyn, so that probably comes into the equation. Also, with that said, I mean, you can clearly see after Kyrie got hurt, I mean, it wasn't just Tucker, but they were able to build a wall against Kyrie, against KD.
Yeah.
He just had kind of nowhere to go. So, I mean, that's just the thing. Obviously, without the big two here, you know, he didn't shoot well from the field, and the Bucks can kind of load up with him, and that's just where you're at. I mean, this is a Nets team with essentially, you know, basically a handful of guys that shouldn't be starting NBA surrounding them.
Mitch, that game's tomorrow night. That's Tuesday night. Right now, Bucks 2.5-point road favorites in most spots.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like ER said, I sensed that one more of the big three. I think one of those guys is going to come back. Harden or Kyrie, one of those guys is going to play tomorrow night. Like he said, who knows if they'll finish, but
sure.
I think we're going to see two of the big three on the floor.
That would be my guess at this point as well. ER, how are you looking at this Atlanta game tonight against Philadelphia? Now, this is kind of the opposite, where the total here keeps going up on a game-by-game basis. But, you know, the NBA is a popular betting sport with the public, and I'm guessing there isn't going to be a single public bettor that's going to say, give me the Hawks tonight. So maybe this line goes up from where it's at right now. How do you look at this, and how do you break it down, and which side would you want to be on here tonight?
You know, Friday's game, I think, closed, Philadelphia, 1.5, 2-point favorite. Usually with the zigzag theory, generally, they don't go this way. And, yeah, obviously, if you watch the last two games, you can understand that to a pretty good degree. I mean, you know, the biggest thing is right now the Hawks don't have any answers defensively. You're not going to stop Embiid as it is. And really, you know, you have to remember Philadelphia, the second-best defensive team in the NBA this year, the Hawks all the way down to 21st. Now, they did improve in the second half of the season. But you look from a personnel perspective, and certainly the loss of Hunter hurts. Doesn't really matter who you have in the middle, whether it's Capella or whoever, you're not going to stop Embiid. But, you know, Collins, Young, Bogdanovich, Gallinari, Lou Williams, Herter, I mean, those guys are minus defenders. So, and the size is obviously hurting them. But, you know, with that said, Philadelphia shot 58% from the field on Friday, 10 of 21 from three. I don't think they could duplicate that. Of course, the Hawks shot 26%. Of course, the Simmons guarding Trae Young has been the difference these last two games, which certainly isn't surprising for anybody watching the games that it would be. Now, you know, with the game in Atlanta, it could be refed a little bit differently. You get Simmons maybe in some foul trouble with that. But I think what you have to remember here is the Hawks were awesome after the coaching change, the best team in the NBA in the second half, certainly against the spread. This is a team that had won 13 straight games on their home court before they did get bounced out on Friday. So I'm going to lean here, and at this point I see some 3.5, so I'm probably going to wait for 4, but looking to play Atlanta. You know, guys, Capella, from a plus-minus ratio in their two losses, minus 37 plus-minus. Quite honestly, you know, what I think a team should do and what the coach is going to do are two different things. I'd pretty much throw Capella out at this point. Just go small. Make this, you know, get this game as much pace as possible. Mm-hmm. Get Embiid running up and down the court and make it a three-point shooting contest, because that's pretty much the way Atlanta's road to having any chance in this series is, really.
That's a pretty good point.
I like it. Good angle.
Sixers won 127 to 111 on Friday. Now 3.5-point favorites at a lot of spots, and I'm with them. I would lean to the home dog here, catching the 3.5, especially if that goes to 4. We forgot to ask, have you been betting the Bucks-Nets games under the total? Have you been ahead of the curve on playing those under?
I haven't been, unfortunately. Okay. In fact, game 2, I bet the over, and some of that, you know, if you'd watch Harden play with this team, you know, he really bogs the pace down so much for the Nets. And I thought with Kyrie beating the lead guard, you'd see more pace. There was just no pace in that game, too. Now the pace has been, even with the low scores, the pace hasn't been that bad. Yesterday, mm-hmm. In that game, 203 possessions. Normally, that would certainly get you, with these two teams, in the 230s.
Yeah,
so,
right.
It really just has been the defense or the non-shot making.
ER, quickly, we have like 30 seconds here. Do you have any opinion on the Jazz-Clippers game at this point, where the Clippers are laying 5, total is 224?
You know, I lean towards Utah. That's kind of who I lean towards in this series. I thought the Jazz, some of their parts, was maybe still a little bit better than the individual play for the Clippers. You know, the Clippers really went to that small ball in game 3. Zubac, 13 minutes. Cousins, 0 minutes. Really disappointed the of course, Clippers to outscored them in the paint, 44-32. I think Utah can turn that around here. However, you know, Utah has such that strong home court. I'm not sure if it's better to wait here and maybe they get beat and then go back to game 5 and bet Utah. But I do lean here towards the Jazz plus a handful of points tonight.
All right, pal. Good talking to you as always. Good luck with your bets tonight, okay?
All right, thanks. Good luck to you guys.
Yep, there you go. Follow him on Twitter. He is at ER Sports One. Aaron Rennie, professional sports bettor. Waiting to see if the Sixers will go up to 4 in this game.
Dog interested me there, too. I don't think I would look to play the Jazz. I think I'm going to stay away from that. Probably, it looks like that's going to be a home court type of series, unlike the Clippers Mavericks in the first round,
right,
where it's a road team series.
Yeah.
It feels like the home team has decided to play in that. I do kind of like the Hawks tonight, getting the 4 if it goes.
If it goes there, yeah. We'll update you on the playoff numbers for tonight coming up next.